All right, everybody, welcome to the first episode of the Kid Zach Podcast. Guys, it's been a long time coming doing this, man. This has been in the works for a while, man. And, man, it's finally here today. A lot is going on in 2020, man, but we got to end it with a bang, starting with the Kid Zach Podcast. A lot more to come. But today, I have a special guest with us. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm DJ.
He's DJ.
Said.
My brother, DJ Guy, he's the first guest on my podcast. Yes, we will be having guests on these podcasts. It may not be the same location every time. I'm trying my best to. Right now, I'm from school, so this right now should be the location that we are in. But without further ado, I know you don't want him to keep talking like that. We're going to be talking about certain topics today. And allow me to tell you some of those. Patrick Mahomes, is he the best player in the league? And is he the best quarterback? More importantly, is there a gap amongst him and those other quarterbacks? What does this mean that James Harden did not show up to today's camp or camp at all this week? Also, questions like, is Baker Mayfield the guy in Cleveland now that four-touchdown performance in Nashville, Tennessee against the Tennessee Titans, as well as Carson Wentz and my Eagles? Is he through in Philadelphia? And to finish it off, we're going to talk a little bit about Durant and what we can expect from his return. But it is time, guys, to get it going. So let's do it. We're going straight through. All right. Let's do it, man. So my first question, DJ.
Okay.
Is Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback? But is there a gap between him, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, all those elite people? Do you think, is there a gap?
No, I don't think there's a gap. I think he's the best, but I do not think there is a gap. Okay. Wow. Some people say, okay, they got like Patrick Mahomes up here and everybody else it starts down here. It's like Patrick Mahomes, and then it's like, okay, Russell Wilson, and then Deshaun Watson, stuff like that. And I'm gonna say it because of this reason we're here. We're talking about this year. Let me see. Got a couple stats here. Okay, as far as this year goes, Pat Mahomes has 3,800 yards, right? 3,815 passing yards, right? Along with, he has, what, 31 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, okay? Deshaun Watson now has 3,500 passing yards, 3,542, okay? So that's probably like a 200-something difference, you know what I'm saying? Maybe 3, I think it's like 200-something difference. Or 3, one of them. 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Now, okay, yeah, he does have, what, 6 more touchdowns, and he does have 4 more picks, he does. But by the way, he also, I mean, in the QBR, Patrick Mahomes has 85 to where Deshaun Watson has 72. So he is the best, but it's not like he just skyrocketing past everybody. I mean, you look at these other guys on the list, I think Aaron Rodgers is like at number 5, right? Now, with the passing yards, he's at 3,300. So, okay, he's got him beating that. But touchdowns and interceptions, you got 36-4. He's doing better than Patrick Mahomes. And the QBR, let me see, 84. He's right underneath him. So, he's the best, you know what I'm saying? But it's not a gap, you know what I'm saying? We still got guys that's competing for him every single week. Every single week. So, no, Patrick Mahomes is the best. But it's not a gap.
Not a gap.
Not a gap.
And this is why you're wrong, that there's not a gap. If anybody's watched Patrick Mahomes before do work, you already know what I mean when I say there's a gap. Now, that's not a knock at Russell Wilson nor Deshaun Watson or what he's doing, understandably so. But if we want to get into stats, let's get into some, right? The first year he came in as a rookie, he sat behind Alex Smith, who then later they shipped him off to another team for Pat, who in the first year he played threw 50 touchdowns and over 5,000 yards that year. He follows up the next year throwing over 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns. Oh, not to mention, he missed by 2 games and went on to win the Super Bowl MVP as well. Okay, and now this year, he's already passed it with 31 touchdowns and counting. Now, we can talk about stats all day, but when I say a sizable gap, because Russell Wilson has numbers, Deshaun Watson puts up numbers as well, and Aaron Rodgers, those guys are absolute ballers, future Hall of Famers, whatever you want to call them, right? The thing is this. Patrick Mahomes is a gap between him and the others because of how great he is on the field. The eye test compared to Deshaun and Russell Wilson. This guy can do things that not any other quarterback can do in this league.
Okay, so he can throw the ball with his eyes closed.
Okay, but it's not just about that throwing the ball with his eyes closed. He makes everybody better on that team. Russell Wilson
doesn't. Deshaun Watson doesn't.
Okay, just give me a second. Yes, they make guys better, but let's think about it. When Deshaun Watson lost DeAndre Hopkins, he has nobody, he has nothing. And then he didn't have nothing. He won, three or four games here recently, I believe?
He's still putting up numbers, is he not?
But are they winning games like that, though?
They just recently lost the game.
They're not winning games like that. You go back to Patrick Mahomes, when the Patriots went to the Super Bowl, had the Chiefs not jumped off sides, right? I think it was Frank Clark he did, I'm not sure. They would be in the Super Bowl right now. And when Brady threw that interception, they would be 2 years in a row. That would have been two championships Patrick Mahomes already had.
Okay, so you just going to get him in the Super Bowl that year?
Let's be honest. We all saw that Rams team. Did you see that Rams team?
Yeah, I did.
You put him against a juggernaut like the Chiefs.
You can't just automatically just put them in the Super Bowl. Then, on top of that, you can't just give them a championship. Don't work that way.
I didn't automatically do anything. But as you see.
You said there was two championships.
Because look at it. Patrick Mahomes has not put his team in position to lose big games. He's not the one who makes the mistake.
Okay, but you can't just give him a title. That's the beauty about sports. You know what I'm saying? You can believe, you know, whoever you want to believe is going to win, but at the end of the day, it has to play out on the field.
I understand that. But my thing is this. He doesn't make those mistakes when it comes down to clutch time. If anything, the guys around him possibly made a mistake. I've just seen Russell Wilson lose to the New York Giants this past Sunday, right? And you telling me there ain't a guy? You think Patrick Mahomes and his Chiefs would have lost to the New York Giants on their own turf? Mind you that.
Probably not. First of all, they have their weapons. First of all, let's get this out of the way. Patrick Mahomes has some of the best weapons in the league. First of all, he got Andy Reid leading the charge. Okay. You know what I'm saying? We all know how important a coach is. It's extremely important. He got Andy Reid coming from the Bill Belichick tree.
Right.
You know, he's got Andy Reid leading the charge. Not to mention, he's got Tyreek Hill, the fastest receiver in the league, can take the top off any defense. Mm. Then he's got, if that doesn't work, he's got Travis Kelce down low. Mm. Not to mention, he's still got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think that's how you say his name. Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire running back. Le'Veon is there, although not doing a whole lot, but the fact that he's on the field, he's still going to draw attention. Right. You know, let me tell you something. Take Patrick Mahomes off Kansas City and insert Russell Wilson. Do they still win games? Are they still the Super Bowl favorites? Absolutely. Do the same thing. Take him off. Put Deshaun Watson in there. Are they still the favorites to win the Super Bowl? Absolutely. Okay? Pat Mahomes is better because, yes, I mean, he can do things. You know, he can extend plays like you've never seen. Not that those other guys can extend plays, but he can do it to another level.
Yeah.
But it's not a huge gap. You put those quarterbacks in that same Kansas City team of this year or last year, they still win the Super Bowl last year with Deshaun Watson. They still win the Super Bowl last year with Russell Wilson, okay? That's all I'm saying.
This is why I disagree possibly with that. Because as people like to say, when he threw that, 40, 50-yard, whatever bomb it was to Tyreek Hill, they say he caught a punt. I know Russell Wilson great. I know Deshaun great. I don't think they can make that throw, though, on 3rd and 15, I think it was. I don't think that throw would be made to that guy. You know what I'm saying? And he hung in the pocket with pressure thrown off his back foot. It's a sizable gap because he can do stuff like that. Okay? And we know that is the case. That's why it's a sizable gap between him. And you talk about insert this and that. Like I tell people all the time, Travis Kelce was there when Alex Smith was there. Tyreek Hill was there when Alex Smith was there. Yeah. And they got to the playoffs, but they didn't win no Super Bowl.
But Alex Smith is nowhere near Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson's level. That's not even fair to put Alex Smith in that
But just to say you can put anybody into this
offense. No, I didn't say anybody.
Michael Vick, I mean, Andy Reid coached the Eagles, and Michael Vick, he wasn't on Patrick Mahomes' level. He had Deshaun Jackson, LeSean McCoy, he has several weapons, and he wasn't doing this.
I didn't say you can put anybody
in the player?
When I said Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. I didn't say anybody you put over there. You can't. You can put me on there. You're not gonna get the same results. You know what I'm saying? It has to be somebody with some finesse.
So you saying, if you look at it, are you going 1A, 1B, like 1 Patrick Mahomes, 2 Deshaun, like, or how are you doing?
Yeah, I would say it'd be, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Like, I feel like when people say the gap, they're saying the gap is Patrick Mahomes And then, okay, what is your gap? Where does the next tier start? At number five. Okay, so Russell Wilson, he number five. So skip 2, 3, and 4 because nobody fills those slots.
That's it's because it's of not, how it's he like plays. One and then two. It's because of how he plays.
Okay, but I just gave you numbers as far as, you know, the yardage and everything like that. They're not that far apart this year. It's not like he's just blowing people out of the water. You know what I'm saying?
You ask any GM in the league right now who would they take if they could draft again amongst these guys, Russell, Deshaun, Patrick. They all take Patrick Mahomes. And it's not even close.
They might.
Who would you take?
It's not – out of those three, you know what?
You would take Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Let's not sugarcoat this.
It would be between Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson.
Why is that?
Probably Russell Wilson. First of all, they're more athletic than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is athletic enough to where he can, you know, okay, we got need 10 yards. Okay, I can trot over and get that right quick. You know, the athleticism is out there. First of all, and then Russell Wilson has been playing with mediocre talent since he's gotten the league on the offense. You know, he don't even get credit for his Super Bowl that he won. It was all Legion of Boom. You know, so he's been playing with mediocre talent. And still he comes out of being Russell Wilson.
Marshawn Lynch was mediocre talent.
Okay, I give you Marshawn Lynch.
I'm just saying, like, the defense, he had talent around him too.
Okay, what about the receiving core?
Tyler
Lockett. Yeah. Tyler Lockett's not even a top receiver in the league. We're going to put Tyler Lockett in the conversation?
That ain't fair to Tyler Lockett. Their offense.
No, he's not perfect for the offense. He's perfect because Russell Wilson makes him perfect. You know what I'm saying? Take him and put him in New York somewhere, we wouldn't hear from Tyler Lockett no more, okay? Just like Golden Tate, we don't hear from him no more. You know why? Russell Wilson ain't throwing in the ball no more. So that's what I'm saying. If I put him in that Kansas City offense, they're just as good. You don't lose a beat.
I guess we agree to disagree on this. But at the end of the day, like I said, I still think there's a gap. However, he thinks otherwise than that. So let's get into our next topic. Let's move it right along. So, as we all know, this past offseason, several sources have said that James Harden and Russell Westbrook didn't want to play with each other. Fast forward, Russell Westbrook is now traded into Washington for John Wall and a draft pick. And now James Harden, as camp's getting ready to start, the season starts on December 22nd. No, is it 22nd? I think it is. Has not shown up to camp and was spotted actually in a nightclub with strippers not too long ago here. And so instead of that, they was going to bring me in for an individual workout, and he didn't do that neither. And I'm just getting this in, is that his mother tweeted, James Harden's mother tweeted and said he just wanted a chance to win a ring. That's all he's asking for. So what does this mean that James Harden didn't show up to camp? Like,
I think it means that he's out of the Houston situation. He understands that, you know, he's not a number one. He's an extraordinary number two. That's what he is. He's a scorer. He plays defense, you know, just like the seasons come occasionally, you know. Mm-hmm. And he done got to the end of his rope. You know, first we had, you know, got Chris Paul. And Chris Paul's my dude. Chris Paul in, what was it, game 7? Chris Paul was injured. If he plays, they probably go on to the finals that year. Was that the West Conference Finals? Yeah, it was West Conference Finals.
Yeah.
If Chris Paul plays, they probably go to the finals that year.
Mm-hmm.
Win the title, I don't know, but I'm for sure they go to the finals, okay? It didn't work, okay? There was a ruckus saying that, you know, Chris Paul was upset because they was like, oh, we need to pass the ball more, which they did, you know? And, you know, James Harden decided, you know what? Chris Paul can't work. Why? Because he was giving pushback, pretty much. That's what it was. He was giving pushback, mm-hmm. You know? All right, shifts Chris Paul out, brings in Russell Westbrook. Okay. They go in. First of all, I already knew that they weren't going to do anything good anyway. I already knew. Both of them are choke artists in the playoffs. Both of them. Russell Westbrook and James Harden are choke artists. You put two, I guess they figured, you put two choke artists together, you might get something a little bit more than a choke artist. I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
Go to the playoffs. Of course, again, they fall out. First of all, they barely beat OKC. I thought OKC was going to beat. They barely beat OKC. But, you know, if season falls flat, Russell Westbrook wants a trade, he wants out. Okay, now James Harden wants out. He didn't finally realize, okay, what we're doing here isn't working. At least the system anyway. You know, my thing is, he asked for a trade. Okay. he wants a trade to
Nets.
To the Brooklyn Nets. Why? Because your friends play there?
Got a chance to win a championship.
Well, yeah, but what about Miami? Okay? You can go to Miami. They already got the defensive front. You know, all you got to do is score. That's what you want to do, James. All you got to do is score. Jimmy Butler and the rest of the crew will take care of everything else. Just score. That's all we need you to do. Or you can play with Giannis, you know. But, I mean, he's done experimenting, basically.
Yeah.
I thought he wanted to play with John Wall, but then I was like, he said that just because they traded for John, I really wanted to play, prefer John Wall. No, you don't know what you want. You yeah. know, you don't. All you know is it's not working in Houston. Yeah. That's where he's at.
I think Houston, they have a problem. And this is why I think they have a problem. James Harden, since he got traded from OKC to Houston, came a whole lot better. And he knew he did, and the organization knew he did. They kept extending him, giving him this much money, giving him this, giving him that, giving everything they pretty much could to him, putting the pieces around him and everything they could to succeed. So I think Houston has done everything they can to bring a championship to Houston. And far as doing around James Harden, they never gave up on him, and they still haven't gave up on him, far as I know, right? Mm-hmm. But this goes to say is this. James Harden. Oh, okay. Okay, so James Harden, the problem is this. Him. What he wants to do is pull a LeBron James, as I love to call it, right? Let's think about it. The first time LeBron left Cleveland, what they end up doing? Getting the first overall pick, which is Kyrie Irving, right? Then he went to Miami, right? Won two titles. What'd he do then? Left it in a mess. Everybody was getting old. Wade wasn't the same anymore. Left it in a mess. And like he's doing now, when he went back to Cleveland, when he went back to Cleveland, got these guys back on the right track, back and forth with the Warriors, but ultimately won them a championship, left them again. What they end up doing? Getting Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, losing Kyrie Irving. And he's going to do the same with the Lakers. This is what James Harden's trying to do. Okay? But my thing is this. You talk about destinations. You say maybe the Bucks, right?
Yep.
That ain't going to work. And simply because of this, him and Giannis do not like each other. That's it. He wants to play with his friends in Brooklyn, right? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, I guess. But really, Kevin Durant. But this is the thing. He can't really Anthony Davis himself through this, honestly. The way he forced himself out of New Orleans to L.A. He can't really do this in his aspect because they've already lost enough with him. Look at the history. Who's to say it's going to work out if he goes with Durant? Dwight Howard couldn't play with James Harden. They got rid of Capella to go with a high school lineup. You feel me? Chris Paul couldn't play with him. And his best friend, Russell Westbrook. That's four people that could not play with this guy. And yet you're saying, yeah, I'm trading over here and this will work over here. Well, you talking about he's ready to be a number two? No, he ain't. Okay? And don't hit me with that. I'm ready to win and it ain't going to work now. Listen, dude. It's you. It's him. It is him is why it's not working. This holding the basketball for all 24 seconds and throwing up a shot, and everybody's saying, hey, it ain't Harden's fault, man. They need some more help. Daryl Morey is a big risk taker, and he did everything he could to put James Harden in position to win. He had to do it. Those chances he had to beat the Warriors, and he didn't do it. I remember how Steph didn't have a point in the first half and can't even put 30 up. Now, whose fault is that? That Daryl Morey's fault? Because I'm telling you, I've seen a 6'6" man play center and P.J. Tucker who was giving 110%. So it's not P.J. Tucker's fault. It's not Chris Paul's fault. It's a James Harden problem is what it is. And if I'm Brooklyn, I don't necessarily want this guy because I don't know how this is going to work in the first place. You know what I'm saying? And yes, Houston, yes, I would say get rid of this problem. A lot of people saying, no, let him play with him and whatnot. He's going to get going eventually. It's just all about the price you want to get rid of him for, how many picks you want to do, because they're starting over now. There's no more Daryl Morey. There's no more Mike D'Antoni. It's over with. So it's okay. They got silence. So I think it's a good candidate for it. Don't put this mess on him. Start over, Houston, right now. Look at the Pelicans. They got several draft picks, and they're going to be all right future terms.
So if you're Houston, if you're Houston's GM right now, you're going ahead and trading James.
But Harden. What am I trading him for? I'm not finna get back a bag of peanuts or a packet of cigarettes. I want more.
Of course.
Listen, I look at it this way. I get rid of this contract. And I, in exchange, I want some pieces and I want some draft picks. The value will be high. I'm not just finna let you go for nothing. See, because when I thought that's what happened with the Pelicans, they were like, yo, they gave up everything for Anthony Davis. They gave up everything for Anthony Davis. Yes, they did. And right now, the Lakers are looking great because they got Anthony Davis and LeBron.
Yeah.
But like I said, in 2-3 years when LeBron's done or he winding down, the Lakers will go back.
Well, here's the thing. Draft picks don't mean nothing if you don't know how to build a team, you know?
And this is Houston's chance to start over. This is the ongoing problem that's going to happen with James Harden if you leave. He's showing you right now, you keep playing with me, you trying to make me come play, it's not going to work. And the last thing you want is the Stephon Marbury, and we've seen how that ended up for the New York Knicks.
Okay, but what are you say you want picks. What are your chances that you're going to get anything close to another James Harden with the draft picks? Especially with the COVID and everything going on right now. So, I mean, they playing ball, but it's like, you know, high school ball these days, you know.
Understandably so. You trade Harden right now, you're not going to contend for a championship. Understandably, right? You got to do this for the future. This has to be the new Houston Rockets. There's no more 60 seconds or less. I mean, 10 seconds or less. Mike D'Antoni. There's no more Daryl Morey. No center. That's done. You're starting over now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, if you get rid of him, it may seem like he wins now. And he can do what he wants to. But future terms, you want to be on the right track. And the teams that I look at that gave up big stars that are on the right track is most definitely New Orleans Pelicans. You can say what you want, but that's heading on the right track. Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram just got an extension, okay? They got Lonzo Ball over there who's developing. They got somebody for the future.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to be honest with you. I know this ain't the topic with that, but I'm going to be honest with you. Zion's not staying in New Orleans, okay? Listen, look.
Why?
But simply for the simple fact, they had Anthony Davis, all right? Anthony Davis is a beast. They had him for 7 years. They made it to the playoffs, what, once? I think.
I think
twice. They won one playoff series.
Yeah.
So they've shown that even with talent, they don't know what to do with it. You know, they had 7 years. Let's get that right, y'all. That's this many right here to get it right. So basically, make a long story short, because I know that ain't the topic. Zion, you know, they're going to develop him just enough just to get him to a free agency. And then somebody like the Lakers or Miami, one of these big name free agents, is going to get him. That's what's going to happen. But
I completely disagree. I disagree. We can say this and then we can move on to the next topic. But the reason I say this is because this. I know everybody's hopping teams nowadays and stuff. Also, for you guys listening on Spotify and all that, whatnot, you can't see it. I know everybody hopping teams, but we're having a team build. How do we not know Zion not in the team build? He has the makings of a team that can contend for a championship. Don't go chasing that stuff just because LeBron here. LeBron took a while to get there, too.
There's nothing wrong with team building, but you have to build with a team that actually knows how to build a team. You know, New Orleans ain't never showed no sign of being able to build up a championship team. Unless, like, okay, Miami, they got Pat Riley leading the forefront, okay. They got history. They know how to build up a championship team. New Orleans don't know how to build nothing.
But you have to give them time. That's what they're doing now.
They had 7 years with Anthony Davis. How much time you want me to give them?
It's different this time around. Sorry it had to be this way, Anthony Davis. Sometimes you experiment and see, this didn't work with him, right? But this I got now, and this is what I'm going to do for him now. This didn't work at first, but this is working with this dude. I'm sorry, but that's just what it is sometimes. I think Zion is the one they look at and say, okay, we made these, this, this, and this mistakes with Anthony Davis. We will not make the same ones with Zion Williamson. Step number one, get his counterpart, Brandon Ingram, max him out, and keep him here now.
Well, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would bet that Zion will be leaving New Orleans. Now, it's not going to be for this first contract. He's going to sign that first max. But that next contract, after they done had so many losing years, it'll be skedaddle, New Orleans, you know. So say goodbye to all the gumbo and all that stuff. He probably will lose some weight, too. That's going to be good for him.
Listen, man, Zion's going to be fine. He's got
to be fine, just not in New Orleans.
In today's game, young players, I never played in the league, don't get caught up in all of what you see going on in L.A. and all that what Golden State did. Do your thing. Look at it. It can happen anywhere you go, and you have to be part of and willing to make it happen. LeBron won't play forever, right? Steph won't play forever. KD, these guys won't play forever. You're next up. take your time, you know what I'm saying? Develop yourself and be ready for the future so you ain't hopping from team to team looking for a championship. Going into the next topic here, you all know I'm a huge Eagles fan, and we're going to get to that one. Great to that, but one of our friends in NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys, has been struggling this year. As you all know, I think it was a broken ankle that Dak Prescott earlier this year against the New York Giants. I heard he's recovering well. But hey, with Dallas playing so well and so many things falling apart, like their line and things like that, is to say they have a top 10 pick right now. And the question is, should the Dallas Cowboys take a quarterback in the top pick? You know, so I'm saying with the top five pick that they have at the moment, should they take one? So would you take a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields if you had top pick and you were Dallas?
First, Trevor Lawrence is going number one. Mm-hmm. So unless they get the number one pick, they're probably not going to have a chance to get Trevor Lawrence. So that would leave Justin Fields. Now, nothing against Justin Fields. I just don't think that being done with Dak is the issue with the Cowboys. I just don't think it is. You know, starting off his rookie year, he had, 3,600 yards, 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. 2017, he had 3,600 yards. 2017, he had 3,300 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 13 picks. 2018, 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 8 picks. Last year in 2019, 4,900 passing yards, 30 touchdowns, 11 picks. And this year he had 1,800 yards, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions right before he's gotten injured, of course. So from 2018, he was trending up. 2018, 2019, so he was trending up, you know, getting better every single year. Also with an average career quarterback rating of 97.3. So I don't think that Dak is, you know, I don't think you should just, okay, we're done with Dak, especially when he was playing the way he was playing. You know, I don't think that's the issue. You know, now if you're in the front office and you think that Dak isn't the way to go, but then, well, yeah, I guess you would. Me personally, I wouldn't. Well, I think the problem lies is they don't have the coach. You know, Mike McCarthy. You know, I want to call him Dump Truck Mike McCarthy. I don't know. It's just Dump Truck just fits him for whatever reason. You know, maybe like I can see him driving one or something.
Yeah, like a dump truck, yeah.
They picked the wrong coach. You know, they went, you know, they already got the old blood in there with Jerry. They just turned right back around and brought some more old blood. And they need to get something to juvenize the locker room. You know, you got your Lincoln Rileys out there. You know, it's a lot of good coaches. I feel like should have been candidates for the Dallas Cowboys job. You know, they got a lot of finesse and flash and everything like that. Dak is, with his personality, he's a good person to neutralize all that. You know, that's what he does. He ain't got a lot of pizzazz to him and all that stuff like that. You know, he's a good neutralizer. Right. Like I said, he was trending up. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but they're locked in with 5 years with Mike McCarthy. Now, why he gave him that extensive amount of a deal, but You know,
it's trying to get long extensions to the head coaches. They do it, and the Steelers do it. They don't flip out too many head coaches.
Well, they should have in this case, because I feel like, you know, you need the right coach to get the best out of that. I mean, look at the situation in Arizona with Kingsbury and Kyler. You know, first of all, Kyler, he wasn't even looked at as, you know, a top quarter. They say he wasn't too small, couldn't do this, blah, blah, blah. But it took what? The right coach, you know, to get the best out of him. You know, as we can see, he's flourishing. Right. That's what you need to do with Dak. You know, have him in there. You know, ask him who would you like to see. You know what I'm saying? Because you go as far as your quarterback goes. So no, I don't think taking a quarterback is what the Cowboys need to do. You know. So
we talk about the yardage, right? Dak has thrown over 3,000 yards each year, and he went for 4,000 last year. And this year, he was headed in that direction. I think actually, after he got hurt, a week after he got hurt, he was still like the top leader in like passing yards in the NFL. Yeah, I do agree with you. You do keep Dak, right? I mean, if you're looking at the quarterbacks coming out this year, you got BYU Zach Wilson, really good talent. Kyle Trask from Florida, pretty accurate. Mac Jones from your Alabama, you know, Crimson Tide. Jamie Newman from Georgia, who opted out but is going to go into the draft anyway or what have you. And Shane, I can't even say it, Bakula from SMU. Haven't seen too much tape on him. And Trey Lance from North Dakota State. right? And Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one.
Yeah.
You're right about that. You know what I'm saying? But you're right. I take none of these guys other than Justin Fields. You understand? Because why would I stick with good when I can go great? Yes, I know he went to my Georgia Bulldogs and ended up leaving us. But this kid is a absolute stud. This kid is great for the brand, and he's great for all around. I mean, he's great for the fans, excuse me. And he's great for just all around football for the Dallas Cowboys. If you think a Justin Fields won't elevate an Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper as CeeDee Lamb, you lost your mind. You know what I'm saying? And I like that. I do like that. I really do. I know he's in the division with my team. I still like him. But let's be honest. Okay, let's see what Andy Reid saw when he saw, yeah, I got a good quarterback with Alex Smith. But my God, this Patrick Mahomes kid, which we all didn't see at the time, he can be great for us. This Justin Fields kid, you can't tell me you're going to let this pass. Let me tell you something. I know a team that's let it pass, and that was the Chicago Bears, and they're still paying for it today. They didn't get Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes, and they've been and they've regretted it ever since. Cowboys, if you get the opportunity to get this kid, you get him. I'm sorry. Nothing against Dak. Dak's a starter somewhere in this league. But I want to be in the top tier. You say they got all the finesse and flash. He's all that and then some. And let's talk about off the field. He's a great guy off the field. Don't got a bad record. Smart kid. All of those things. It fits perfectly. You know what I'm saying? If you get this guy as the face of the Dallas Cowboys, and I know they love that. Oh, man, they're going to kill for this kid. It's just what it is, what it is. He's been successful since his high school years. That's what he does. He plays big-time football. He's extremely mobile. He keeps his eyes downfield. He's efficient. I remember his first game back here this year. He only threw like one incompletion and nearly a perfect game. So I'm saying if you got a chance to get them, Cowboy, with him, then you get him. Now, you're probably not going to get Trevor Lawrence. But if you got a chance to get Justin Fields, you draft him, and you worry about the Dak situation later. But trust me, there won't be a Dak situation if you draft this kid. Because, let me say this, the Cowboys situation with Dak, it's already ruined. That's what a lot of people keep talking about. It's over with. He's felt disrespected because simply you want the franchise tag him and didn't give him a number he thought he was worth or should have had. And it's not about that. It's about what the market allowed at the time and what the market is selling at that time. You see what I'm saying? And now they're having all these struggles and problems. The relationship is ruined already. That's it. So that everybody has leverage when it comes to negotiating time. Dak can say, hey, you didn't do this without me. You couldn't make the playoffs or whatnot. Jay Jones say, hey, I mean, you did break your ankle. Who's to say you're going to be, you know what I mean, the same? And they weren't winning a whole lot, but when he went down this year, he was getting a lot of cleanup time with all those extra yards and whatnot, but those are still yards. But I'm just saying, you want to be great, Cowboys? This guy is going to take you there. He's fresh blood. He's accurate. I mean, accurate. His accuracy is on point. He's everything. This kid absolutely loves football. And Jerry Jones, that's the type of guy you want. And that's why. Okay. Moving on. So, next topic after discussing that. Is Carson Wentz done in Philadelphia after getting benched for Hurts in the previous game against the Green Bay Packers, where he went 6-for-15, he played one possession in the third quarter, excuse me. And then he was benched for Hurts, who came in and threw a touchdown. And brought it down to a one possession game. So what do you think? Is Carson Wentz done in Philadelphia?
I don't think Carson Wentz is done in Philadelphia. You know, couple years, you know, 2018, 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 2019, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And this year, he had a whopping, so far, 2,600 yards, 16 touchdowns, 15 picks, you know, with a 72.8 quarterback rate. So it's bad. It's bad this year. But also is the receiving core and the defense and the coaching staff. You know, it's a lot wrong with the Eagles this year. It's a lot wrong with the Eagles. So, of course, you know, the quarterback is, you know, the head. He's the leader of the team. So when everything goes wrong, guess what? He's going to get the blame. I feel like that's why it's so easy to point the finger. Yes, he's playing bad. But good gracious, y'all, he's playing with lawn chairs out there. Like, his receivers, Marcus Goodwin, where is he? Huh? I haven't seen him since San Francisco. Alshon Jeffrey. Jalen Rucker, if I'm saying his name right, the rookie. He just came back from injury, hadn't done much.
Yeah.
Then we got DeSean Jackson. Look who he's throwing to. You know what I'm saying? They might as well go ahead and recruit me and put me on the receiving core. You know what I'm saying? Because I can do just as good as these guys. I can get an injury and be out for the next 3-4 weeks, you know? He doesn't have a reliable, not to mention Zach Ertz, a target he normally can rely on, is just now coming back from injury as well. The man ain't throwing to nobody, okay? He ain't throwing to nobody, okay? Yeah, he done threw some bad ball, and on top of that, he probably frustrated, okay? He's probably just flat out frustrated, you know. Offensive line is bad. It's bad out there in Philly. It's real bad, you know? But so I feel like, he did get benched for Hurts, you know what I'm saying? But if your plan is to shut him down for the year, reboot it, come back next year, head strong, I'm all for it. You know, and another reason why I say don't be done on Carson Wentz for the simple fact, you know, this contract, you're married to him. I mean, this contract that he's just signed is 4 years, $128 million. He got a $16 million signing bonus, an average salary, average of $32 million with a guarantee of $107 million on that contract out of that $128. You know, and the cap that he has this year, he has a cap hit of $18 million. Next year, 2021, he's got a cap hit of $34 million. 2022, $31 million. 2023, $36 million. 2024, $32 million. You're married to this man. Who else in the league is gonna take this contract on? You know, and especially while he's at an all time low. Now, if he's at an all time high, of course you wouldn't even trade him nowhere, I guess. But you know, That's not the problem. I wouldn't just be done on him just yet. It's like I said, it's a lot of things wrong. See, it's not just Carson Wentz. You know, I think you sit him. If you're gonna sit him for the rest of the year. You know, pretty much let the world know. Okay, we shutting it down for the year. This is bad. Okay, it's real bad out here. Let's shut it down for the year, and we're gonna get right for next year. Come back next year. First of all, get him a weapon he can rely on, please. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you got Zach Ertz. That's good. Mm-hmm. Give him another one. You know what I'm saying? And I know this is, it'd be kind of bad since because we're talking about injuries, but you got Odell Beckham out there that's not working in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Let's make a deal. You know, you got Julio out in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Some people get the sense that Atlanta's finna do a reboot as well. They're gonna be, if they do, they're gonna be looking to move him. You know, get him some targets, you know what I'm saying, to where, you know, defense have to pay attention to these receivers. They have to pay attention, which is going to look open for everybody else. You know, get him one reliable target. You know, get him a number two that he can rely on, and then let things flow the way they should. You know, I think that's what you do. You know, but as much money as you got invested into this man, go see it through. You know, don't just, you know, because think about it. If you don't, first of all, nobody's going to take the contract. Then on top of that, you're going to have $107 million just sitting on the bench. Just sitting, you know, collecting dust, you know, probably sweeping it up. But, you know, it shouldn't cost $107 million to sweep up dust or be a placeholder on the bench, you know. So, no, don't be out on Carson Wentz just yet. Don't do it. Just don't.
Well, you may need to get some alcohol or something and take a seat, because this is about to be brutally honest. I'm firsthand a Eagles fan, and I watched all the games this year, and I watched all the games last year and year before that. Nobody's been a bigger Carson Wentz fan than I. Me, I've been a huge Carson. Everybody, yo, Nick Foles, your dude. I said, no, it ain't. It's Carson. They shipped Nick Foles. Like, yo, all this, you need to make a move. Draft Jalen Hurts. Still okay. I've been with him for so long, okay? But at the end of the day, his job is to come in here and to win football games, and that has not been getting done. Carson Wentz, the first game of the season, completion percentage, 57.1. The next game, 60.5. The next game, 61.7. Oh, next one, 64.3. Oh, 57.0. Listen, he ain't completed 70% of his passes all year. The game that he got benched, he was 6 for 15. He's gone from taking sacks, holding the ball so long, to throwing the ball in the dirt. You understood? He's regressed. And no, and yes, it's the coaching too. It's everything. But you know what? If I paid you to be that franchise guy that we paid him and extended him to be, you better work with some lawn chairs then, right? We talk about great quarterbacks. You talked about earlier Russell Wilson could make folks better, right? Yeah. Right? And that's the case. We talked about Deshaun Watson can make folks better, right? You know, Tom Brady's done it. Everybody's doing it. Why aren't you able to do it in this situation? Yes. And with the receiving core, it needs a reboot. I think we should have drafted Justin Jefferson, but we got Jalen Reagor from TCU, who is a return man, who made a couple plays the other night. But let's be honest, you know, that ain't the guy that we want. Justin Jefferson is at an all-time high playing in Minnesota right now. Deshaun Jackson, he needs to go. Got a lot of love from him. Alshon Jeffrey, he needs to go. He's hurt the entire year. Okay, he gets in the game, can't even run the route right, can't catch the ball. He's through. It's over. Okay, you understood? Zach Ertz, he's hurt too. Goldberg, I think I can't even say his name right. Our other tight end, he's hurt as well. So we got guys like Travis Fulgham coming in. We got Bart Scott in the running back position. Miles Sanders. I mean, it's been a lot of injuries. But let me tell you something. Even through all these injuries and whatnot, he needs to be a light in all this. He hasn't been a light. I've seen games with teams when the season is going down here, everything's messed up, but they find that guy. And you know what I saw that happen at? That was in San Francisco when their season was going down the hills that one year. And what ended up happening? Jimmy G caught fire towards the end of that year. Remember that? And then the next year, they went on to go to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? They figured out they had a George Kittle and a Jimmy Garoppolo. So I already know we got to reboot everything. You know what I'm saying? Allow me to not worry about rebooting my quarterback. And he hasn't done that. You understand? He hasn't done that. I remember, like I said, the Niners were not good. And they went on a long, hard stretch. Long, hard pause. At the end of the year. At the end of the year with George Kittle and Jimmy Garoppolo. In the next year, they extended Garoppolo. They had something there.
So then what do you do with him? If you add him, what do you do with him?
You have a decision right now. You play Hurts, what you do first off. Okay, I don't care what anybody say. We lose, I think, 3-23. I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong. And he sit up there. It was a 4th and 18. He got 2 first downs for us. He got 2 first downs with his legs. And then 4th and 18 was a penalty that happened. He threw a touchdown cross field to Ward Jr. is what he did. And then Jalen Reagor got the ball on punt return because that's what he does and returned it. And it was a 1-possession game and we had the ball. And we lost. And he has a lot of things to learn. But you can't tell me we can't scheme up the rest of this year. We have a chance to still make the playoffs. And if that's the case, I'm not just finna keep saying, hey, don't take him out because Carson Wentz. Dude, what about the other 52 players on the team? Do I just let you stay in there because of who you are? Or the best man plays at the time?
So you put Jalen Hurts in. He's a new starter. What do you do with Carson Wentz?
If he expresses...
Because you can't just let who he'll stay as a backup. That's too much money to be put into a backup.
Well, then you have to put him on the market to see what you can do for us that. And then in return, that's where you reboot your team. You figure out... The Eagles have to figure out what they want to do now. That's what's coming to. It's big boy football. What do you want to do now? Right? Are you going to stick with Hurts? You want to see what Hurts had the rest of these games right here? You want to send Carson on the bench and maybe next year he'll get his mind right and give him a shot at it again? Or do you want to get someone in this draft? And me personally, like I named the guys earlier, I trust no one but Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, and we won't be in position to get them, all right? If we talking about a quarterback, we starting over. Wentz really is doomed and done. A guy I like out of Oklahoma is Spencer Rattler, who's a redshirt freshman right now, but has time to grow. But besides that, Hurts should start the rest of these games. And Wentz should have to sit on this. Wentz does not have to take accountability for anything. I defend him as long as I can. But what have we always taught? The best man plays right now. And right now, he is not the best quarterback for this team. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care. It hurts. He ain't that good of a thrower. Scheme it up because it can be done. I watched Taysom Hill play. You know what I'm saying? I watched Teddy Bridgewater play before and win games in this league. So you can't tell me that Jalen Hurts can't do it in this league because he can.
Taysom Hill, okay, he's been playing good, but what they've been doing, that's not a long-term solution. That's a right-now
solution. It's not a long, and that's what it can be for us, a right-now solution.
Looking at Lamar Jackson, so.
I'm not about to throw this season away just to protect Carson Wentz's feelings. You're playing bad football.
I'm only for if you want to do the Jalen Hurts thing, if you go and get Lincoln Riley as a coach, because as we can see, he'll bring the best out of him.
Okay.
You can't say that for Doug Peterson.
I guess that's the
only way I'll be like full on, okay, we'll go with Jalen Hurts if we get Lincoln Riley as the coach.
I say this. Doug Peterson.
I said we. Damn.
Doug Peterson. His job's on the line as well, too. And I think this is another reason why this move is being made right now to move Hurts there. If they win these couple games, then he keeps his job, right? If he goes on and Hurts doesn't play well in this, then okay, because we're shipping a lot of stuff out regardless. And he can be on out the door with it as well. And we can figure out what do we want to do now. As Hurts our guy, let's put this guy in position. Let's get him right. Lincoln Riley, I think the Cowboys offered him a job and he didn't take that. None against us, but I don't think he would take the Eagles job.
I would say he's the system guy because that's what he is now. He's a system quarterback. As long as the running game is on point, he's good to go, you know. And as for Cleveland, if you're fine with that, go with it. You know, just always, you got to understand, you can never have a period to where, you know, you don't have much talent. With Baker Mayfield now, who he is, you have to have a lot of talent. So as long as you're fine going forward, understand, we got to keep the deck stacked with talent. We can't have a period to where, you know what I'm saying, we kind of having a down slope and still expect to win, although, you know, you want to put talent around your quarterback anyway. But, you know, sometimes the times get hard, you know. Mm-hmm. So, to me, that's cool. I don't know. To me, I feel limited that way. You know, when I say, well, he's the game manager, I'm limited, you know, because what happens if the game get out of hand and the running backs are being taken away? Then I got to rely on my game manager. You know, I got to put him in position to where I'm not comfortable with him. I don't like that. You know, I want somebody who, you know, can have lawn chairs out there and still succeed, you know. But, I mean, as far as with Cleveland goes, because, I mean, what are you going to do if you out on him? I mean, you might could try to make a trade. You know, Sam Darnold might be up for grabs, or Jimmy G, although I don't know who would want him. He can't stay on the field. So, it's like it's almost he's the franchise quarterback for them by default because they have nowhere else to turn. So, which that's not a bad thing. You know, like I said, long as the running game is going swell, you're good to go. But, you know, if you ever get into a shootout and they have to be, you know, Chubb and Kareem Hunt,
yeah,
they had to take a back seat and you have to put the game in his hands, well, good luck. You know, so by default, he's the franchise quarterback, by default.
I would say this, two words, honestly. Play action, gentlemen. Play action is what I'm going to say. Let me give you a little stat here. Mayfield's 21 interceptions in 2019 were the most in AFC and the second in NFL. Now, 9 of his 22 touchdowns that he did throw were on play action passes. And it was tied for third in the league. And as who led the league was who? Kirk Cousins was who led the league, who played under who? Stefanski, who is who? The head coach of the Cleveland Browns, guys. This is a match. This guy covers up your flaws, man, and he knows what you can do. If you look at those touchdown passes, at least I think 3 of those touchdown passes that he threw the other day were off of play action. Yes, they were committed to the run. Now, you talk about shootouts. I've seen this guy go duel at it with Mahomes. Yeah, it was in college. But he's going to be a guy where he has spurts, understood? Like when he came down here, nobody expected him to throw 4 touchdowns. He's going to be a guy, every game he can throw maybe over right at 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. But they're going to take care of him under Stefanski.
Open offensive line.
Okay, and if he had missed it, then it's like, oh, now he can't even throw open touchdown. There's no win here. He's in a match where he needs a match made right here with Stefanski. He's going to take care of him.
He's not going to miss an open lineman. There's nobody guarding him.
Listen, this is the thing. Let's look at
it. It was a trick play.
Okay, it was a trick play. But look at it, play action. This guy's like one of the best in the league at play action, other than Russell Wilson. This is what he does. I look at 3 guys that are great at play action in this league, right? And that is Jared Goff, Russell Wilson, and now Baker Mayfield. This is what he does. And here's the thing. We look at Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, right? You look at Brady's having a lot of trouble right now with the Bucks. Throwing the ball downfield. Bill Belichick covered up a lot of stuff. He knew what Brady could do, and that's what he utilized. But yes, like I said, I think it's a match made in heaven with Stefanski, who has a good, solid defensive team, and with Baker Mayfield play action. If he can do that, he's brilliant off of that. He is. He's a rhythm passer. He's a rhythm thrower, excuse me. And that's what he executes at right there. And yeah, they were open. They were open. Okay. He got it to them. Understand?
I'm not.
They committed to the run game, and so when he does his thing, there you go. He's the guy who's going to have spurts, but he is the guy for Cleveland. That's who it is. It's him.
I mean, I'm not going to take the lineman, you know, touchdown away because he did it. It goes on the stats, but as far as that, well, look at this, like a highlight reel. Don't put that in there because he threw it to an open lineman that nobody was guarding. You know, it just it's an insult. That's what it is. It's an insult.
I'm just saying 2 years ago they were 0-16, now they're about to be a playoff team.
Well, yeah, and 2 years ago they didn't have all the talent either.
Okay, and that's what you do. You surround your quarterback with talent. Yeah, you do.
It's just the thing with him is it's not just about, okay, give him some talent. You have to stack the deck with talent. Like, you have to keep it stacked.
Listen, I think the whole deal with Odell Beckham, everybody knows I'm a huge Odell Beckham fan. The thing is this, though. I believe a lot of time he always felt like this. I want to call Odell a black cloud, but he knew, like, Odell's over here. Like, I mean, there's a lot of open guys here, but I need to get it to him. Because if I don't get it to him, then it's a problem, right? And ain't nothing Odell's saying, but it's just that attention Odell brings. It's so much in here. He has that thing in the back of his head, like, hey, everything going good over here. You know what I'm saying? Hey, You know, and that's what it is. I got to get to him. I'm going to come back to y'all. That's what it is. He's playing free. I said when he went out, I said, watch. He'll start playing well now. And that's what he's done. Odell doesn't need to be there anymore anyway. So I can say that he needs to be gone from there anyway. And once he is completely gone, Baker will start playing more efficient football because Jarvis Landry is good, but he's not Odell Beckham. So right now, Baker can't have a guy like an Odell Beckham. He needs receivers, good receivers right now. He needs no great receiver that's like, dude, you got to throw with Odell. He ain't good with that. What he do with Oklahoma? He's spreading it around. And what he needs to do here in Cleveland, what he doing now? He's spreading it around. He threw a touchdown to Peoples Jones, man. Come on, Peoples Landry, Jones. Higgins, and Lyman. He spreads it around. So clear cut, number one, a Hopkins or Julio, that ain't him. He needs good receivers, and that's what he works with. Moving on. Nearly about to wrap this up, guys. Let's talk about Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, as we've just brought them up. How they've been struggling, so to say. This year, I think they got a 6-4 record, I believe. But the question
7-5.
Is 7-5, excuse me. But this past week they had a bye week, but it was a horrible performance that they had. Well, I wouldn't say horrible, but you know, it wasn't their best stuff against the Kansas City Chiefs, and a lot of other performers have been pretty shaky this year. So my question is, will Brady and the Bucs fix it coming off this bye week against the Vikings?
Well, as long as Brady is making the calling the plays like Bruce Arians said he was going to start letting him do, Tom Brady came from an offense to where everything was run short. Like, out of four or five receivers on the field, say four receivers, out of four receivers on the field, three of those guys are going to run short routes. Only one guy is going to run up the field. Okay, that's the offense he came from. Now he's in the exact opposite to where three of the guys are going to go up the field and only one is going to stay home. You know, I haven't seen Tom Brady throw the ball down the field with so many incompletions. It's astronomical, you know. Excuse me, not this game. You can't teach a dog some new tricks. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. I know they said, well, it's easier for him to conform to our offense where everybody else already knows it versus us trying to change the entire offense just for Tom Brady. Well, that's what might have to happen in this case because right. You only go as far as your quarterback goes. Mm-hmm. So if he's calling the plays, because as you can see in that game against Kansas City, they got down early, but they came back, mm-hmm. You know, and it was the short routes with Godwin, Antonio Brown, moving the ball smoothly up and down the field. So as long as they come in, Brady's calling the plays, you got more cutoff routes, short routes, than you do long routes, then I feel like they will be back to where the way we thought went at the beginning of the season. Because not to mention, they come back and they play the Vikings. The Vikings on defense anyway are in 26th in the league in points allowed. They're in 26th also in passing yards allowed, and they're 25th in passing touchdowns allowed. So they're at the bottom of the league in all the wrong categories on defense. Mm-hmm. So this is a team where they can kind of get their mojo back. They can kind of experiment a little bit because they're terrible just about everything on defense.
So do I think they fix it coming off the bye week? I think they will fix it coming off the bye week. As you said, Vikings are at the bottom on everything. But I think more so it's a Brady and it's an Aaron's problem. They need to get on the same track. Bruce Arians, put your ego to the side. You have Tom Brady here. Tom Brady, nothing matters what you did in New England, but we still know who you are. You're Tom Brady, right? But you have to understand this as well, though. Although I must say that they're doing a lot of downfield passes, even on the short stuff, Brady ain't really completing everything. Can we acknowledge? Yeah, he playing great football. Yeah, he doing that. And for a 43-year-old man, he's playing great. But he's also not playing great football as a top quarterback in the NFL right now. There's a lot of reads he's missed. There's a lot of throws he's missed. And understand, when he went here and went to this offense, things were going to be a little bit different because he's going to be holding the ball longer. Everybody jumped on Jameis Winston last year. Picks. They weren't vertical sometimes just on first down. So he's holding the ball longer, right? Mm. You understand? He's a guy, gets the ball, and he gets it out quick. That's what he did. That's what he's done his whole entire career, is gotten the ball out quick. That's what he's made a living for. That's the nickel and dime. When we talk about nickel and dime, it's Tom Brady who we discuss when we talk about the nickel and dime. He's an important piece to this team. But what's had to be understood, they may not win a championship this year. Yeah. Okay, and that has the that's something they have to sit with and come back next year. Because right now they don't look like no championship team. I don't care what they're gonna look like coming back off of this bye week. It does not matter, right? It's too much else going on. Too much other teams are complete compared to these guys. The defense is absolutely horrible, right? And that's one thing people talk about. Brady got too many weapons. When has that been a problem? Man had Randy Moss before, so he knows how to use weapons.
I don't think that. I think that the weapons that they have is just fine.
That's what I think, too. I said, it's not like we just discussed with Baker Mayfield where he can't have no top weapons. You know what I'm saying? Lord forgive Baker Mayfield, Jerry Rice, and Randy Moss. He ain't going to know what to do with them two people. You know what I'm saying? He has had average people, but Brady can handle top people. Understood? He's still getting into this offense and trying to incorporate his with theirs. If I'm Bruce Arians, I'm taking this thing and I'm letting Tom Brady make it his. Bruce Arians, no disrespect to you. You were retired at one point. You won how many championships in this league? You won none. Understood? This guy won't be playing forever. You want to utilize what you have now. You best start incorporating some of this stuff he does. Because at the end of the day, he's throwing the football. He's calling it hut at the line. You know what I'm saying? He's building that chemistry. So get your ego out the way. Because trust, once he gone, he gone. And then you really got to start over. So capitalize on this very window with him now. And if he wants to call this, let him call this. Stop pointing the finger. Put your ego to the side. And this year, hopefully, you can become a playoff team because you're not winning no championship. Not this year. I don't see. Do you see?
I can never count Brady out, even though it don't look good right now. I just can't. You know what I'm saying? What was it? The Atlanta Super Bowl. Atlanta and the Patriots Super Bowl taught me that. I could just never count him out.
But it was different then. It was different.
Well, see, you can say that now because they came back and won. But at the time when they was down, 28-3, you could have said, well, I can't believe my eyes. But here again, you can never count Tom Brady out.
The situation is different. You tell me right now that team wasn't better coached than the one you're looking at now.
Well, yeah.
They were better coached. The coach was better. They were more efficient. They were down. They got down early in that game. Understood? But yeah. This right here, this is an ego trip, man. This is what it is. You trying to figure out how to get this guy this many targets and this many catches? And this many catches and whatnot? It's not gonna work. I mean, but not for a championship, not this year.
Well, the thing about football is, see, you only have to win one game in order to advance. Not a 7-game series, 5-game series. You know, excuse me. You only have to win one game. You know, so depending on who they play in what the wild card is, I'm pretty sure they're not gonna win a division with the Saints leading the way right now, unless the Saints just have a catastrophic letdown for the next 3-4 games or whatever, how many games is left. You only got to play one game per week. All you got to do is beat the person in front of you. So, like I said, I can never count Brady. Yeah, it don't look great right now, but, you know, they come back, say he looks wonderful. 4 touchdowns, no picks, 300 and some yards, you know what I'm saying? Then we're all going to be saying, well, you know, have the Bucs fixed it? You know, so, you know, and if they did, they're fixing it at the right time. That's not to mention you got COVID and everything like this. So going into a new system and you don't get an off season, you know, he's working out the kinks as the year goes on. So I just can never count him. I'm not going to say they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm also not going to say they're not going to that they're not going to at least go or they're not going to lose it. I don't know what I'm saying, but
okay,
I can't count Brady out. That's all I'm saying. I can't count him out.
You're right. You can't count him out. He's just the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, why I look at this before we move on. You talk about you got to play the team in front of you and beat them. And that was something we could always count on New England Patriots to do. Yo, I never count them out. Even when they lost to y'all last year and they was getting beat, I never counted them out through the whole game until it was over. Triple zeros over. It's different now. I can't even count on them to beat the Giants on Monday Night Football. Honestly, I can't count on them from play to play. Like, I've never seen some of the stuff happen this year that's happening. And the ball bounce off a helmet. Like, they said the receiver, I think Evans didn't sit down. I've never seen it. So, talk about one game at a time. I can't count on them one play at a time to make good things happen. Ronald Jones fumbled. He fumbled. Then they start hammering him the ball. They lose confidence. I don't know what they're doing, and they're just trying to figure it out, too. But figuring it out is not going to help them figure out a championship. Going into our last topic today, guys, before we end the first ever edition of the Kid Zach podcast. Kevin Durant, as we all know, tore his Achilles. Is it 2 years ago now? A year or two ago? Kind of like COVID messed up the timetable. Playing in the NBA Finals against the Toronto Raptors, went on to sign with the Brooklyn Nets, but never got on the court that first year because he was out that entire year. So anyway, what do you expect from Kevin Durant going into this year?
I expect him to come back and be the Kevin Durant that we always know him to be. His game was based around shooting. You know, although, you know, what was it, that Achilles tear, whatever, although that does affect your shooting. I mean, not your shooting, but your jumping, which can affect your shooting and everything like that. But I think he'll come back and be the Kevin Durant, you know, we expected him. It's not like he's a 7-footer with, you know, who's a center who has a lot of weight on him and everything like that. And that's a lot of weight coming down on your ankle, you know what I'm saying, on a night-to-night basis and everything like that. So it's not a situation like that. He's a thin guy. He's 7 foot, but he's not a big guy. You know, his game is based around shoot. It's not banging up against guys and getting rebounds and boards and, you know, post fadeaways and all that stuff like that. So I think he'll come back and be fine. The only thing I'm not sure about is the Brooklyn Nets as a whole, you know. So, but as far as Kevin Durant come back, he'll come back and be, you know, it'll be as if he never left. He didn't miss a beat.
I'm extremely excited to see what Kevin Durant's going to be, and that's mainly because I don't know what's going to happen. And I think because of the reason you just stated, the Brooklyn Nets, right? Mm-hmm. We know what KD looked like at the Warriors. We know what KD looked like at the Thunder, right? But you look at that, at the time, those were two very well organizations, you know, Sam Presley, Bob Myers, right?
Well, I'm not basing it off of the team. Regardless if Brooklyn is horrible, I still expect KD to put up 28 a night. You know, like, so regardless if they suck or not.
But that's true. We got to look at this at the same time, though. KD's going to be KD until he's not KD anymore. But the thing is this. He's not 2-3 years back removed like he was then, you know. He's a whole injury here later, and not just any injury. Talk about the Achilles injury. We don't even know how he's going to be used with Brooklyn. Got a first-time head coach with Steve Nash, who clearly, from my understanding, I don't think the respect is completely there. Him with Kyrie Irving said, "Mr. The world is flat," talking about, I mean, anybody can be a coach. I think KD said it too. I mean, one day you can be the coach, I can be the coach. Are we playing pickup basketball? So I don't even know what you're going to, your starting five is going to look like. Are we all on the same page? You know what I'm saying? You can say it's easy to fit KD in anywhere, you know what I'm saying? But you look at the system that he's been in. See, he was everything to them, right? So everything was built around him. Then he had two future MVPs playing alongside him, too. He got put in the Warriors system, about as great of a system you could put a shooter in like him himself. So, yeah, that was a nice little transition. I don't really know. Last I've seen in this team, they had D'Lo, and then I seen Kyrie Irving put up like 50 points. It was just him all day. Yeah, you got some good pieces with Dinwiddie and Jordan and these guys like that, but it's a new guy in there. Nash is in there now. It's different now. I don't know what this is going to look like. Yeah, you can say give KD the ball and let him go do it, but he's older now. He's a whole Achilles injury later, right? Why not put him in different positions? But I know who could have put him in a great position after Achilles injury. I think the Warriors would have put him in a good position the way he wasn't doing too much or doing this all over. So I don't know what it's going to look like, really, honestly. But, I mean, if I could say number-wise, we look like, you know, if he can stay healthy through this year, because a lot of times people get that Achilles injury, it's just one after the other then. But I'll say he put up 15 or 20 points. I don't mean taking any
15
shots.
15 or 20 points?
I'm sorry. I don't know how this whole thing is going to work. I don't.
Just 15 points from Kevin Durant.
I'm just saying. Okay, 20.
We can knock it down from anywhere.
Okay, let's go. I'm sorry. In the 20s. 15, that's pretty low. Right?
It is.
Because who he is.
But he scored 15 in the first quarter.
Something in this game is going to take a shot. Because, like I said, they're thinking they can just put these guys on the court and it'll flow. Who else tried that? The Rockets. And it clearly didn't work, right? I don't care if y'all best friends. That clearly shows that may not mean you best friends on the court. You see what I'm saying? So yeah. I remember at one point, I remember Kyrie Irving coming out of Duke. Because I remember you used to talk about him and Dad used to talk about him. Y'all, one thing y'all always say, pure point guard. Pure.
Well, he's went away from that.
He's left that at Duke. And the thing was, once he got to Cleveland, he had no choice but to score. But let me tell you something. He could go back to being there now, but he's not going to be. He's not. Understood? Because Kyrie still want to get his. You know what I'm saying? Kyrie wants I don't know. It's no. So I'm just trying to say Kyrie's emotions are going to affect Durant's emotions. He's finally on the team with somebody who has emotions just like himself now.
Yeah.
So that's why I say it could. Women. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we love you, women. But, like, it could affect his stats from that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I say, 20-some points a game, because how is he even going to be utilized? Like, do we want to put that much pressure on him again right away? Yo, go do your thing, KD. Like, give him the ball.
His talent demands it. I mean, he has alpha talent with a beta mentality. So his talent demands for us to have eyes on him every night, you know, regardless if he wants us to or not. So you can't be 7 foot and he can shoot out the gym with ball handles of a point guard, but, you know, and then get mad if we jump on you because you had a bad game. You know, if all of us had that, you know, you'd be paying attention to us.
I guess you're right. We're going to see what happens, though. I mean, this should be interesting right there, man. But, yeah, guys, wrapping it up. This is the first ever edition of the Kids At Podcast. Clap it up, man. Let's give it up for DJ, our special guest, man. We hope to come again with this next week. I believe DJ will probably be our guest again next week. If he come back, I don't know, unless we have somebody else. But right now, I think he'd probably be the one coming back again next week whenever he has that opportunity. I wish you this again. We're going to try to upload this to YouTube, to my channel. But I know for sure I'm going to put it on Spotify. So I really want you guys to listen whenever you're working out, going to work, you know, just chilling in the house. But most definitely will be on Spotify. The YouTube version will be missing a piece of it, but we will still upload that to my channel, Kids Zach Channel, is what it's called. But it will be on Spotify, and that will happen this week, guys. So, hey, man, thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast episode number 1 of the Kids Zach Podcast, man. Everybody have a great day and be blessed.